Good morning. Would you please stand, please, for a reading of Colossians 1, 24 to 29. Paul's ministry to the church. Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. In my flesh I'm filled up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for generations, that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to the saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully work within me. This is the word of God.
Good morning. 84 years ago, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt declared, December 7th, 1941, a date that will live in infamy. He spoke before a joint session of Congress. The day before was the attack, the surprise. America was caught off guard. Ambassador Kichisaburo Nomura of Japan was negotiating vigorously for peace, while at the same time, Japan was secretly planning its attack. Something somewhat similar was happening in the Colossian church. The Apostle Paul got word as he sat in the Roman prison, AD 60. Epaphras, a convert from the ministry in Ephesus, who was the church planter of this young body in Lycia, Colossae, near Hierapolis and Laodicea in modern-day Turkey. There was an insidious movement taking place inside this young church. It was a doctrinal heresy, a doctrinal attack. A group of folks known as Gnostics. They were, in modern-day parlance, you would say they were like the intellectual snobs. They claimed to have more knowledge. They had something against material things. They believed that material things were evil, and therefore, over the course of time, God could not have taking on the body of flesh. And through these series of emanations, as they described, Jesus himself could not have been God. So in essence, they were denying the deity of Christ, the heart of this heresy. Now, you think, does that have any relation to us today? Well, there are many cults. Most often, cults will touch on the person of Christ. And be mindful, even though Colossae is in the New Testament, it is known by scholars as the least significant of cities. Hardly known. It could barely be even found today. It might not even be, no rubble or any rock might be found of the ancient Colossae. But often, cults will start in places like these, innocuous, places that you would never think. And so Paul, knowing that this is going on in the church, writes this letter to nip it at the bud. Why? Because if this doctrine spreads, even from a relative insignificant place, it could reach to Laodicea. It could go past the Aegean Sea to Philippi, maybe to Corinth. So he gives some critical and even beautiful points to us. Now, I'm not going to go over it in detail because it was already covered, but I will read some of it. A beautiful hymn in 1 Corinthians, Colossians 1:15-23, that reminds us of the beautiful hymn in Philippians 2:5-11, which we know as the self-emptying passage or the kenosis passage, which brings us today because when we speak about the person of Christ, we must speak of the incarnation. And that is why today I titled the message, "The Christmas Mystery Revealed in 7 Words. Now, from verses 24 to 29, there is, in verse 27, what I would like to use as the core or the lens by which we will explore this passage. And in 7 words, we have Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's really a snapshot of the Christian life, right there in 7 words. And I want to do it in this way, so follow along closely with me. I want to say this, that the mystery of Christ is revealed in his person. Mystery revealed in the person of Christ. Christ, verse 27. Number two, I'll go over the mystery revealed in the presence of Christ. Christ in you. And third, the mystery revealed in the proclamation of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now let's go on. The mystery revealed in the person of Christ. Christ. Verses 25 to 27. Of which I became a minister, Paul says, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now you will hear suffering, afflictions, mystery, hidden, Gentiles, hope, glory, proclamation. These are some of the words from the text. But we have here in these verses, Christ is the mystery hidden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. We have what is known as the proto-evangelium, or the first proclamation of the gospel. When God speaks to the serpent and says, you will clip his heel, but he will crush your head. The crushing of the head of the serpent speaks of the death, crucifixion, and the resurrection of Christ. We can go through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy in the tabernacle. The bronze laver speaks of Christ, the water of life. Go in and you see the table of showbread, Christ, the bread of life. You see the menorah, the candelabrum, Christ, the light of the world. Go in a little bit further. The ark is made out of wood and gold. Wood speaks of the humanity of the Messiah. Gold speaks of the divinity of Christ. The mercy seat there at the ark speaks of the atoning work of Christ, the blood shed of Christ. And we could go on and on through every single book of the Old Testament. Isaiah, wonderful counselor. We can speak of Jeremiah, Christ, the weeping prophet. Even to Malachi, the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. But these were all veiled. Veiled in symbols and signs. Through the smoke of sacrifices. Entrusted to the Jews. But kept and held fast or close to the vest of the Jewish people. And not until Christ came, not until the apostles, Peter, remember, a sheet comes down with the unclean, and the Lord reveals, what I've considered clean, don't say that it is unclean. In other words, a ministry to the Gentiles. And here, the Apostle Paul, the great intellect, theologian, writes for us, takes us back. But first, it was a mystery hidden. You know, the Jews called the Gentiles dogs. That's you, me. But with Christ, God's revelation, we are now invited in. We are now a part. Grafted in. Christ is the mystery revealed. He is, according to verse 15, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things, say with me, all things. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Speaking of Christ, the Creator. Astronomers tell us that there are 200 sextillion stars in the observable universe. That's 200 billion trillion stars. Inside the drop, a single drop of water, there are 1.7 sextillion H2O molecules. Christ, who created every molecule in that drop of water, who spoke and created the 200 sextillion stars. I want you to imagine this. Imagine back to the very beginning. As far as you can think back. And when you're there, try to think a little further. And as you think a little further back, think of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, conceiving an idea of creation and redemption. The idea of the Father sending the Son through the course of time, before time began, through space, before arguably space began. And to say that one day, on a planet called Earth, in a tiny part of this Earth that we now know today as the Middle East, in a nation that we now know as the nation of Israel, a virgin will conceive of a child by the Holy Spirit and gestate 9 months, the child. And on the day that we celebrate as Christmas, the idea of and the reality of the baby who floated in amniotic fluid squeezes through the birth canal and is born into the world. The infinite becomes an infant. He bleeds, he cries, he screams, he sweats, he hungers, he thirsts, he learns a trade from his father, he becomes a teacher, one who taught as no one has ever taught. And he dies. Oh, the marvel of the incarnation. The mystery revealed. Christ, 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 Christ. But there's more. The mystery revealed in the presence of Christ. Christ in you, Paul writes. Now we circle back to verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. It's important for me to note here, because it can be misunderstood. One could think that, wait a minute, I thought the work of Christ was done. Is there more that Paul needs to do? And you've touched a very important point. Because there is a distinction between the mediating work of Christ and the ministerial work of Christ through his servants in the church. The mediatorial work of Christ on our behalf is complete, finished. The work is finished, just as Jesus said. It is finished. But the ministerial work among the suffering continues in the church. Are there any fishermen here today? Can you raise your hand? Any fishermen? One in the back? Okay, George. Any others on this side? Okay, in the back. Any more? Any lobstermen in the church? Okay, Julio. I'm looking at Mabel Ellis. Mabel invited Jamie and me a few years ago to the Isle of Ho in Maine. And talk about lobstermen. There are lobster cages everywhere you drive. And as a lobsterman, or a fisherman, if you're on the boat, let's say, and you come upon a school of fish, It's quite a marvel to see, isn't it? Or the lobsters that are there, ready to be trapped. But I would say that the lobstermen, as the fishermen, as delighted as they are that the fish and the lobsters are in the sea, close to the boat, that it is not until they get those traps onto the boat with the lobsters inside, or haul in the fish, and the fish are in the boat. There's something about it. That's where it matters, isn't it? It's like going to a bakery, smelling the bread, compared to tasting the bread. And there is a difference here between knowing of Christ, about Christ, wanting to know him, compared to knowing him. But there's more. Not only knowing him as Lord, but understanding the reality, the spiritual reality, that according to Galatians 2:20, Romans 10, 1 John 4, that Christ comes to live in you. His presence is in you through the Spirit of Christ. He lives in you. You may have known that. That's good to be reminded. But some may not have heard it in that way. But that's what the scriptures teach us. Christ in you. Now imagine this in relation to suffering. Let me say two things about suffering. I'm going to say it about suffering and then what it means in us, in the body of Christ, as Paul says, but also the comfort of the presence of Christ in you. And I think it's fitting even for Christmas and New Year's, because as you may be familiar with the fact that often these are some of the most difficult times for some people, where a shocking set of circumstances have taken place. Or there is great sadness or grief or pain that people feel. Now, this idea of in you has an application, and it is this, one of, I would say, others, but here's one. Paul is explaining here that he is sharing in it these sufferings. When someone is suffering, it is not for us to try to explain the suffering away from the hurting person. We are to enter in to the suffering, to the shock, and to the grief with them. Often it is without words, or if any, very few. It is the ministry of presence. As Christ lives in you, and you are with someone who is hurting, Christ is present with them through you, through me. And it's the power of that presence. That has a journey, that begins the journey of redemption for someone who is not a believer and who strengthens the faith of someone who is a believer. Have you ever felt yourself dwindling in faith or declining or recoiling even because of the spirit of the age which says, you believe in God? You are a Christian? You believe in Christ? And suddenly, as they explain to you why this is an unreasonable thought or belief. You begin to hold back on your vocabulary and in your expression. Now, Jesus is a good man, I understand, they would say. Well, I'll give you this. He was a great man, but not God. That's why Paul says here, he is preeminent. He is supreme. Get that in you. Let that sink and soak within you. So, on a personal note, if you are in that place right now, privately, of struggle, and you wonder, does God know? Can God hear my cries? Because I certainly don't see him, and right now I don't feel him. Does God have any word for me today? You come to church privately asking. Any word of hope? I believe the Lord would say to you, I know, I hear. Amy Grant had a song called El Shaddai. Some of you would remember that song. For the outcast on her knees, he is the God who really sees. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. And he is with those that you may even feel are far away, out of your control, but in his control and his care. In closing, the mystery revealed in the proclamation of Christ. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we might present everyone mature in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is for us as believers to look ahead and to see a glorious future that is never ending in his presence, in the fullness of joy. But today, we are also in the process of spiritual transformation into the likeness of Christ. I've been crucified with Christ, Galatians 3:20 says. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So as we close, I want to proclaim Christ. If you've ever had a blackout curtain in your home, you know how dark the room can be. But you also know that however dark the room can be, if that blackout curtain in some place has a crack, the sun is so powerful that through the tiny crack, the light will shine. Perhaps you are here and you don't know Christ. You know about him, but you've never been closer. But you say, I'm still in darkness, Danny. I will say to you that if all you have is a faith of a crack, a tiny crack, that's enough to let the light of Christ shine in. And I will invite you to open your heart to Jesus and receive him as your Savior and Lord. And we'll pray about that in a moment. And then you come up and see me and we'll talk further. But as I talk about Christ, our hope of glory. Let that play out throughout our lives in this season. When you're shopping, exalt Christ. When you're at the family party, exalt Christ. When you're eating, exalt Christ. When you're in school and you feel the pressures of the close of the semester or peer pressure or what have you, honor Christ. Put Christ first. In your relationship, maybe with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, put Christ first. In your marriage, put Christ first. On the job, in promotion or demotion, honor Christ. That is our charge today. That is the proclamation. Let's bow our heads for prayer. We thank you for your precious word. There is a washing through the word. There is a refreshment through the word. There is a renewal through the word. There is hope through the word in Christ. And we thank you. For someone who wants to open their heart to Christ today, it's simple. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I know that you were buried and you rose again. I open my heart to you and receive you as my Savior and Lord. And if that's you, come chat with me for a moment at the end of service. And for the rest, wherever you are in life, God knows, God sees, God loves you. May you be that for everyone around you. For indeed, Emmanuel, God with us, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen.